Thursday, the 23rd of April, Kof Tesnissen, Rabbi Jonathan Lieti, The Greatness of Being Tested.
Thank you very much for arranging me to share with you this morning. Mesillas Shesharim famously calls this world Olam HaNisayon, world of the test. Elsewhere he calls this world Kol Inyanei Olam HaZeh, every area of this world, marriage, children, finances, career, personal growth, our learning, our davening. Kol Inyanei Olam HaZeh HaNisyonis LeAdam. They are one long string of tests for a person. Do you get Sports Illustrated in England? There's a magazine in America called Sports Illustrated, and it's predominantly about different athletes, famous athletes, and their careers and their personal lives. But it's interesting that often there's a psychological angle offered where it's not uncommon for athletes to fire their coach. Why do they do that? Because they fall into the trap of actually believing their coach hates them. Here's a typical scenario. You have a gold medalist candidate going for the high jump. Now let me ask you, in the 4 years that he's training, each time he makes the high jump, what do you think his coach is going to say? That's great, let's go home. What's he going to say?
It's not good.
Well, he's made the jump, so... It's not good enough. It's not good because... You could do better. So what will he do? He'll raise the bar a millimeter. Let's say he makes the bar and he breaks the world record. Can he go home now? What will the coach say? You can still do better. So he'll raise the bar another notch. Let's say he makes that. Now what is he going to do? Go home? And why does the coach keep telling him, no, keep at it? Why? What's the psychology behind the coach?
He wants him to
achieve. Wants him to achieve, and how high is high?
He shouldn't be happy with this.
Don't be happy with what you've done, because maybe you can do more. How high is high? We don't know. Until you try a little bit more. So is it possible that the athlete might fall into the trap of believing that the coach, you're just here to fail me. Eventually I'm going to break the bar. As absurd as it sounds, this actually happens. Olam HaNisayon, this is one long life career of one test after the other, and yet it's really one long test. Now we know, when Ma'aminim B'menei Ma'aminim, that the language of Lashon HaKodesh is a perfect language. Kodesh, Chazal tells us, means parosh, it's separate. We're not separate in that it's just Shabbos Kodesh, it's a different weekday. No, this is totally unique. There's nothing like it. Lashon HaKodesh is a unique language. Number one, it's the only language. That's what Kodesh really means. Hakel HaKodesh means the only power. It's the only language which God employed to create the universe. Number two, it's the mother tongue of all other languages. All languages originate from Lashon HaKodesh. That means that if we have a word in Lashon HaKodesh, not only is it a term that we can have an agreed communication as to its meaning, but the actual language, the letters that make up this word, describe the DNA, the spiritual chemistry, if you like, of that item. So let's look at Nisayon for a few moments and ask ourselves, what can this word reveal to us as to the nature of a Nisayon, of what a test is really about? So what is the two-letter root of Nisayon? For those still awake. Well, there's a three-letter root as well. Nun Samach. Hey, or Aleph, Nun Samach. Hey, what does Nisa mean?
That's to lift up.
To lift up, to elevate. What does the two-letter root mean?
Nes.
Nes means? Miracle. What else does it mean?
Magic.
Lanus means to flee, to run away, to escape. Interesting. Ribbono Shel Olam, master of the universe, you have unlimited imagination. In English, you've got one word for running away, escape, another word for elevate, a separate word for test, a different word for miracle, and another word for banner or flag. Why does the same one word, Nisayon, contain the two letter root? Some grammarians claim that a third letter is really a modifier. So either one argues that all Hebrew words are really two letter roots, a third letter is a modifier, or there are really three letter roots. Either way, you have five meanings here.
They must be connected.
There are no mistakes in Lashon HaKodesh, because it's a perfect language. It preceded physical reality. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam Kaviyachol didn't create the universe directly, Baruch She'amar V'haya HaOlam. He utilized the Aleph Beis language, which he first created, and with that, the physical universe was manifest. Language precedes physical reality. The word Nisayon, for test, has five components, because they are correlated. These are the DNA, if you like, this is the spiritual chemistry. The ingredients that help us understand the components of what a test is really about. When God tests us, we're not an easy marriage, not an easy child, not an easy career. Parnasa, livelihood, is not always easy. What is God really doing in his testing us? The analogy I like to offer is, he's squeezing us. Now when God squeezes us, what's the purpose of him squeezing us?
To be better.
To be better? When he squeezes us, what happens when we're squeezed?
Cry out.
We cry out. So what comes out when we cry out?
Connect.
Whatever's inside. When we are squeezed, whatever comes out is whatever's inside. If I'm bitter, angry, resentful, why me? Why are you doing this to me? What's going to come out when you squeeze me, God? Resentment, anger, bitterness. If we are working on appreciation, gratitude, b'chol mido mida shumayded l'cha, that every measure God measures out to a person. In Krishma, b'chol meodecha, I have a mitzvah to love Hashem. How much? With all my ma'od. What's my ma'od? The Shulchan Aruch Kodesh says, ma'od is the same letter as Adam. As in Adama. All my potential. All the raw material, personality, background that God granted me in my youth up until this point. All my ma'od. All my talents. Bechol mamon minecha. Chazal tell us also means all my possessions, all my money. All my material benefits I can utilize to love Hashem. Building a home to provide for wife and children. Parnasa, support our children in learning Torah, provide them with a trade, help them to get married, teach them to swim. Those are my obligations. With every single measure that God measures out to a person, same language, midah me'od. Ben midah tova, whether it's obviously benefit, blessing, health, a good windfall, client comes through on a deal. Bein mida puranut, or whether it's a measure of extraction of payment, that's what it really means. God is making me pay for something that I owe. Kapara. Havimayde lamim od me'od. Be exceedingly grateful. Here we have an interesting formula that we are practicing every morning, every evening. On how will I respond when you squeeze me, God? God is asking me to train every single day, morning and night, in preparation for the rest of the day, the rest of the evening, that when he squeezes me through my mother-in-law, sorry, just swallowing, when he's squeezing me through my father-in-law, my brother, my sister, my siblings, my spouse, my children, my co-worker, the boss, the client, the neighbor, my friends, the community, leadership, did we miss anyone out? My chavrusa, Whoever it is that's squeezing me, what comes out?
Whatever's inside.
So God is in the business of squeezing. Olam HaNisayon. For what purpose? Does God need to see what comes out? Of course not. He knows what's inside. So who's he squeezing me for? Oh, for me to see what comes out. Because what comes out when I'm squeezed is a banner. A flag. What is the purpose, the function of a banner, a flag?
A rallying point.
It gives me a rallying point, identity, direction. The purpose of a Nisayon is to provide a flag, an identity point that shows me where I am. Shows me where I'm going. Is this who I want to continue being in my marriage, in the way I respond to slight irritation from my significant other? When my child comes home, Dad, what's the matter, Chaim? I feel chemistry. Dad, you know what? Chaim, how many times I've told you? You've got to be positive in life. Dad, I'm positive I feel chemistry. All right, son, what did you get? 46 out of 100? Yeah. Why do I work so hard? I can't even say... 26 out of 100? That's 8 levels below pathetic. Look, son, if you just get a pass mark like a 51, you'll make me so happy. You know, here's the problem. Is it really the 51 that will make me happy? Or when he gets a 65, what will I say to him? Chaim, do you realize you went from 26 to 65? Do you know what this demonstrates? You can! Look, son, if you get a, anywhere in the 80s like a B, I'll be so happy. You make me so proud, son. Is that really true? Or can he still do more? When my son is not doing well in school, my child is not doing well in school, that's a test. Am I going to read the outside, the scorecard, the report, the grade, his test score? Or am I going to intelligently ask him, what does this represent? Is this your best? Oh, this is your best? I guess that's really an A. But help me to understand, what will it take to get you from 26 to 50? What are you struggling with? What is the average in the class? Do you have a difficulty with connecting to the teacher? Is it the children in your class are teasing you and you're distracted? Do you need help, private tutoring? Did you miss school for a couple of weeks, had scarlet fever? There are so many possibilities that when God squeezes me, am I going to intelligently ask myself, where am I in my relationship to this child? Am I willing to ask myself some questions to help me be more appreciative, understanding about their struggle, about my spouse, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my parents, my siblings. When God squeezes me, it's to provide for me a mirror, a flag, a pole, upon which there's a banner that says, this is where I am, this is who I am right now, is this who I want to continue being? Now I could ignore that flag, ignore that banner, ignore that identity, that direction, and just run away. Lanus means to run away, to flee, to escape. But what will God do if I run away? What will he do? Squeeze again, squeeze harder. And guess who he'll send to squeeze me? Same kid, same spouse, same mother-in-law, father-in-law, brother-in-law. Now why does God do that? Why does he keep sending me the same different and difficult people in my life? For those still awake. Why does God keep testing me? Why? What does he trust? If I give my child another chance, and another chance, and another chance, and another chance, what am I saying to this child?
I believe in you.
I trust you can change. The only person I was created to change. So God will send me, whether I run away from this marriage, run away from this kid, start again with another business. If I don't change internally, is it possible that God has to squeeze me again to see if I change what comes out? So let's look at the other items on the list. We said not only does it mean banner, flag, gives my identity, direction, not only does it mean to run away, but it also means elevate. Because how do we feel, Nisa, when we control ourselves, when we control anger, when we give a positive interpretation in someone's behavior, which clearly on the surface looks like this, there's no question in my mind, this person has made a mistake. But what does the Torah require of me? That if there's any option that puts a person who looks as though they've done something wrong, but there's an option that puts them in a positive light, a favorable light, I have a mitzvah too, b'tzedek tishpot amitecha, to be done chavschus, to look at them in a positive way. Whether it's my spouse, my child, whoever it is, my co-worker, my boss, my friends. So comes along God and tells me to be in control of my mind. Because when we control our anger, patience, control our initial response, l'taturu, not to trust, not to tour after my eyes, my thoughts, my heart, my emotions. L'taturu achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem. Hashem warns me, and that's another very interesting instruction. Every morning, every night, I remind myself not to trust everything I hear, see, and think, and feel. But screen it through a Das Torah, a mind that's hopefully saturated in learning, so that one can at least have a second view on, am I judging this situation honestly, objectively? But I can't know that for sure. So God wants me to pause, have a matunim adim, to be somewhat patient in my judgment of myself and other people, situations, circumstances. Because is it possible it's really just the Ben Shalom squeezing me, see what comes out, and he'll squeeze me again and again until I change what comes out. So when I control myself, how do we feel? We feel elevated. Oh, so the same word Nisayan contains the idea that inside the test is the invitation to elevate myself. But before we get to the last meaning, let me share with you the following. What is God's point system? In school there's a report card, I'm judged on tests, performance, but what is God's system for, so to speak, judging me? A little louder, sorry?
Mitzvahs,
Masim Tovim. And in the quantity or quality of my mitzvahs, Masim Tovim, how does God decide the point system? Based on effort. Lufum Tzara! God's compensation. Actually, reward is really probably not the correct translation. Reward refers to beyond compensation. The from Saragra. I'm getting paid based on how difficult it is. So based on that, how much I have to overcome. If only you knew how difficult my parents were in raising me, you'd understand how much I struggle in controlling my emotions. But is it possible? The from Saragra means that the C student, in God's eyes, is an A student, because they're struggling. And the A student gets straight A's, because they're very smart. How much effort do they have to invest to get the A?
Very little.
Very little. In some cases, almost nothing. They just breeze through it. I don't know how it goes here in England. I haven't been here for a while. But in America, there's something called Masmid HaShavua, or Midas HaShavua, that a child gets a certificate for being the best masmid, most diligent learner of that week, of that month, or the best midas, the best behavior. And yet, what's sad about this system is that it's not really Torah-based, because for every child that's a winner, how many losers do you have? Let's say you've got 20 children in the class. So you've got one winner. 19. How many losers do you have?
19.
So we're planning for 19 losers. Out of the 20 kids in the class, how many do you think really want to get the Masmid HaShavua, at least at the beginning of the year?
Everyone.
Probably every single one. And if there's only room for one winner each week, who do you think is the best candidate for being that winner? The C student, the B student, or the A student? The A student. And who's probably putting in the most effort? The A student or the C student? Now let me ask you, how many weeks will go by before the C student gives up? Week 2, one winner, 19 losers. Week 3, one winner, 19 losers. How many weeks will I keep trying until I say, you know, this doesn't work? See, the problem isn't nearly as bad as I'm describing. It's much worse. It's not 19 losers for every winner, which is bad enough.
20 losers.
I've got 19 children being punished for trying. Think about it. I'm being punished for my effort by not winning. What a sad situation. I don't know how much better it is with Midrash Shavua, because how can I know which child is really overcoming the challenges that they have, the tests that they have, in how they interact with the teacher, with the students, or what's going on at home, or the struggles they have with their siblings, how they're being compared. So comes along the Torah and requires of me to be more intelligent in my investigation, especially of those closest to me, in the struggles they have, because I have my struggles, which God wants me to be done, chaschus, have it, done it kol adam, kol includes me. I'm also an adam. So I have to be done chaschus on myself as well. Arguably, one of the reasons Chazal claim, I see, let the Mashiach come, v'lo yimeinei, I don't want to see him. What were they afraid of? What were they afraid in the last generation before Mashiach would come? That our sages, who surely were Metzapeh Lishua, they lived with such deep expectation of the final Geula on a much greater level of Emunah, Betochen, of certainty, security that it will definitely happen, much more than ourselves. What were they afraid of? Why wouldn't they want to be in the same generation? Were they afraid of terrorism? Of dying? They weren't afraid of death. No, they were afraid of much worse assimilation. Of the 13 million Jews in the world today, how many are rooted in a Torah lifestyle, have had the privilege of having gone to yeshiva, to be Yodea Sefer, to be able to reconstruct Hashem's Ratzon from text itself, or at least be committed to turning up to Shiurim, to be part of the lifeline of Torah Judaism? Maybe 2 million, maybe. They were afraid of assimilation. Of children who are disenchanted, falling off the derech. Of a generation where we are bombarded. Literally bombarded. Our children are bombarded. On a daily basis, walking the streets. Magazines. Internet. Cell phones. And the screens, what they're able to display. None of us in this room were raised in our children's generation to fully appreciate the challenge they are faced. And Chazal understood, I don't know if I could stand up to the temptations, the crazy cravings that are thrown at us. It's impossible to flick stations. There's no one here who knows what I mean, but some of your friends know what I'm talking about, that when there's a television, they flick stations. It's impossible to flick stations without a momentary glimpse of a Dava Issa, something that's seriously forbidden. So come along, Chazal, and warn me that this generation before Mashiach is a very challenging one. The Arizal said to... Come on, I'm not available, I'll call back later. The Arizal said to Reb Chaim Vital, and you're going back several hundred years over here, he said, anybody in this generation can be as great as Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva was Adam Shalem, 120 years. He died on Echad. Everything was perfectly one. Everything comes from you, Rabbi Shalom. He was an extraordinary, towering tzaddik, Talmud Chacham. He was the Rebbe of Rebbe Meir, who was the Rebbe of Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. The Mishnayos was the language of Rebbe Meir, which came from the mouth of Rabbi Akiva, who started his career more seriously at the age of 40. How can the Arizal say anybody in his generation could be as great as Rabbi Akiva? And when Rabbi Chaim Vital challenged his Rebbe, the Arizal said, because of the temptations are so great, the Fum Sarah Agra, God counts closing one's eyes in that flick moment when I've got a choice to continue watching or not. To close my mind to certain magazines, sites, where we walk on the street, what we entertain in our minds, Lufum Sara Agra, am I really here to judge you? It would be enough if I were compassionate on myself and learn from that to be compassionate with others, let alone judge others. How do I know what your Nisayan is? What goes on in someone else's home? The dynamics between husband and wife, between the children, and the specific challenges that that child has, and may not be able to articulate. So that at least I, as a parent, if I have a child that's not very verbal, at least assume they have many hours in school that are not easy, and may not be connecting with that teacher, that mura, that rebbe, that their peers. Avraham Avinu was told lech lecha, strange language. There are only two places in the entire Tanakh where this language is used. Lech lecha in his first Nisayan, and lech lecha in his last Nisayan. Says the Stipler Hatzal, lecha, go to yourself. All that I need in order to elevate the only person I was created in this world to change is already within. To go inside of myself, because that's where, when I'm squeezed, whatever's going to come out. I would argue that possibly the greatest Nisayan for today is gratitude, appreciation. I'm bombarded in a world of the media that constantly has me thinking about what I don't yet have in my life that will hopefully make me happy, whether it's living a different postal code, or a larger home, or when I drive this car, or when I can afford to lease this car, or when I can get a degree and then I'll be happy, I'll feel more intelligent. I'm constantly being almost commanded by the media to not count what's good in my life. No, that's not enough to be appreciative and grateful. No, it's what's not yet good enough in my life, in my wife, in my children, in my house, in my spouse, in my health, in my wealth, that when I get that, when I lose weight, when I make more money, when I get promoted, then I'll be happy. The gratitude is a serious Nisayan. That God wants me every morning, every night, to practice that whatever happens today, I'm going to respond with gratitude, appreciation, hasanach b'chelkai, to enjoy the chelik God has given to me. It's His chelik, because God owes me nothing! He owes me nothing! Whatever He gives is totally a gift. In the words of Mesillas Yesharim, even what a hacham is masik, even what a wise person, employing their mind, surely that's my bechira. Whatever we fathom and understand, einai ela chesed kel alav, is nothing more than a kindness from the power of powers upon that person. God owes me nothing. Gratitude is one of the greatest nisyonos. Appreciation. Learning Torah. Schar keneged kulam. The benefits outweigh every other mitzvah because it leads to doing. But how do I know what's right? I have to learn. Whether it's attending shiurim, whether it's learning for oneself, chavrusa, from a rebbe. Any one of our patriarchs, matriarchs, we see that their lives were saturated with tests. Avraham Avinu went through 10 tests. Sarah Mani went through the same tests. Famine. She was kidnapped twice, barren, 90 years. That was not easy. And yet she became a matriarch, not despite the test she went through, but really because of what she went through. Because every time we are squeezed, it's an invitation to reveal what's inside, or to change what comes out. Yosef HaTzadik went through unimaginable tests. Betrayed by his own family, in isolation, 12 years in prison, Moshe Rabbeinu, under the home of Paroi. What type of an upbringing is that? Despised and betrayed by his own brethren, Dathan and Aviram. And even when he becomes leader, didn't really want the position, we're constantly arguing and complaining. Every great person did not become that way because it came easy. It came that way because it came hard. The Nisayan is an invitation for greatness. I will close Ness also means miracle. What's the miracle in the test? Well, if we identify the greatest miracles in life history, world history, I think we all agree we're still barely in Nissan. Chris Yamsuf, Matan Torah. Or if we want to go a little bit earlier, if we stood at Briyas HaOlam, creation of the universe, our blood vessels would have burst from excitement to witness the miracles. How God manipulates nature. Water turns to splits. The laws of nature completely change under God's rule. And yet, that impresses us. But let's ask the question in reverse. Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, what would impress you that you would say, wow, that's a miracle? What would impress Hashem? The only domain he left us, Hakol, is not 98, 99, it's 100%. Hakol, B'dei Shemayim. He controls everything. Chutz Me'irat Shemayim. Except what comes out from me when I'm squeezed. That's the only area he left to me. And when we change our nature, that's the greatest miracle of all. Oh, that's what he's holding out for. The greatness of being tested is contained in the word Nisayon. It's a flag to give me identity. This is who I am. This is who I want to continue being. And it gives me direction. It elevates. I can run away. Or I can choose to be the miracle that God holds out and created me for. And will test me and test me, not to hurt me, not to squeeze me for pain, to squeeze me to see when will I change the only person I was created to change. Thank you for your patience.